There is no more important subject in the whole Word of God than that concerning the doctrine of Christ. The seriousness of being in error as to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ is seen from the reading of the second epistle of John, verses 9, 10, and 11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now, just what is the doctrine of Christ? Or what is the teaching concerning of Christ? This is what I would wish to speak to you about today in these few moments with the book. I trust that you will turn with me to the various passages of Scripture, as the Lord may lead to, that we might see just who Jesus is from what God says about him in his Word. The name Jesus itself suggests the fact that he is God, and this is the first point that I wish to make, and which Scripture teaches about. Jehovah, the Savior, is what Jesus means. Now, Jehovah is the name of God found in the Old Testament that presents him as the self-existent one, the eternal present, the one who was, who is, and who is to come. He was known as that to Moses, and he told Moses to tell the children of Israel that he, as Jehovah, the I Am, was the God who had sent him. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ refers to himself as the I Am. We read in John chapter 8, he says, "If ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins." And then to the Jews who question him, he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Yes, the Lord Jesus also declared that he was the light of the world. He says, "I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the bread of life," and so forth. And thus he connected himself, manifesting who he was in the very words of Jehovah, the Savior. Now you notice, in Isaiah 45, we have, or 44 rather, in verse 6, we have a very important verse from the pen of the prophet. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." We cannot mistake the language so clearly set forth here. And when we turn to the book of Revelation, we hear the Lord Jesus exclaiming through John the Apostle in verse 1 of chapter 1 of verse 17, Jesus says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. There is none before him, none after him." These scriptures set him forth as the eternal one, the one who never had a beginning, who will never have an ending. This is who Jesus is. But I would ask that you turn back to Isaiah with me in chapter 7, where we have some prophecies concerning him who is to come. Nearly 700 years before he came, Isaiah wrote in verse 14 of chapter 7, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In Matthew 1, verse 23, we hear these words, that his name, referring to Jesus, who was to be born of Mary, was to be called Emmanuel, meaning, which is interpreted, God with us. Nothing could be clearer. The Lord Jesus is God who has come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, man become flesh. Also in the 9th chapter, in verse 6, we read these wonderful words, "Unto us a child is born, Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, or the Father of Eternity, and the Prince of Peace. There is no question as to whom this refers. The Lord Jesus himself is the child born. He is the Son who was given. His name is Wonderful, or the word itself means secret, for we know that no one can fully comprehend the mystery of godliness. That is how God and man could be in one unique divine person. But no man knoweth the Son but the Father. But we do know him by faith as the one who has come from God, and the Scripture tells us that this one, whose name is Wonderful, who was born in Bethlehem, is the Mighty God, the Father of Eternity. Scripture could not speak plainer to tell us that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Mighty God. He was the Mighty God in the manger at Bethlehem, on the cross of Calvary, and now in the glory. Now I would like to turn to another subject in relation to who Jesus is, and show that he is the Son of God in the unity of the Godhead, referred to as the Trinity. Though the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, the truth is found from the very first verse of our Bibles. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word used for God, Elohim, is in the plural, and it denotes three or more. The singular verb is used, and here indeed we see the Godhead in plurality, acting in unison as one, unity in plurality. And in this we see the act of God of uniting together in creation. In the first chapter, also in verse 27, we read, "Let us make man in our own image." And then you'll notice that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the one to whom creation is attributed. We shall see that in just a moment. But if there was no other scripture than this, it is sufficient to show that God is a plurality in unity. Three persons in one. In Isaiah chapter 48, I would ask you turn, and you'll find there a scripture that presents this very, very clearly. The speaker is the I Am that we've been referring to. The Spirit of Christ, speaking through the prophet Isaiah. In verse 16 he says, "Come ye near unto me, and hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me." Notice, the Spirit of God is linked with the Lord God and me, the speaker, who is the I Am. We have already proven that the I Am is Jesus. And that we have here, Jesus portrayed and prophesied as the one who was to come, being sent by the Lord God. In John's Gospel, this is clearly set forth. The Lord Jesus himself is often referred to as the sent one, the one sent by the Father to do the Father's will. There is no question as to the truth of the Godhead presented in this verse. The Lord God, the Father, his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has sent me, the Lord Jesus Christ. Also in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, in the commission to go and baptize all nations, The Lord Jesus says, baptize them in the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One name. He didn't say in the names of, but in the name of. There is but one God. But they are one in purpose and three distinct persons united together in substance, having one name, one purpose, Jehovah, and yet each of them in a distinct place, working together. Now, next I want to notice with you that the Lord Jesus Christ as Son is co-equal with the Father. We read in John 14, I and the Father are one. Make no mistake about it. And even though we do hear him say, my Father is greater than I, he does not say, my Father is better than I. Greater suggests the relationship of position that the Father had in regards to the Son who came here to earth as man. And certainly as man here on earth, the Son, in obedience to the Father, referred to the Father in the position of greater than what he was in. He was in the position of subjection and obedience. This is the thought of that passage, my Father is greater than I. But you will notice from John chapter 5 and verse 18 that the Jews were well aware of what Jesus spoke, what he had said in regards to himself as to who he was. The Jews took up stones to kill him because, we read, he said he was equal with God. The Lord Jesus Christ is one with the Father. I and the Father are one. He is God, the Son of God, God the Son. Next, I want to notice with you that this Son of God, whom we know as the Lord Jesus Christ, is referred to as the Creator. In Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, and John 1, you'll find the truth in each of these passages that very clearly point him out as the Creator of all things and the upholder of all things. I'll turn to the Epistle to the Colossians just for one passage, if you will, where we read very clearly that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one by whom were all things were created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Of whom is Paul referring? To the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as we read in verse 13. And in verse 14, the one in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And who is he? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. The one who is the firstborn in the sense of the position that he has taken as head of all creation. He is the one who created all things. We could not ask for a clearer passage in regards to the creation of all things. John says all things were made by him. Hebrews tells us that the Creator upholds all things by the word of his power. I'd ask to turn to John 1 in reference to the fact now that the Lord Jesus Christ not only is Creator, but he is the eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is no question of what is set forth in this passage. And as to whom the Word is, we read in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus came into the world, God manifest in flesh. In the book of Revelation, we read that his name is called the Word of God. He is the eternal Word of God, the one who has communicated to us what God is, who he is, the express image of his substance. And thus he has declared unmistakably who he is and whom the Father is. We want to know what God is like, we look at his Son, and there we have the full expression, for in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Also, and finally, the Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal life. John 1 tells us, in him was life. The life was the light of men. And in the first epistle of John, we have a most remarkable passage written by the apostle who says that this life, the word of life, which was manifested and we have seen, bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And then, in the fifth chapter of the same epistle, he says, we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now mark you what follows. This is the true God and eternal life. Well, these few scriptures attest to the doctrine of Christ as to who he is. He is God. He is the Son in the Godhead as the one member of the Trinity. He is co-equal with the Father. He is the Creator. He is the Sustainer of all things. He is the eternal Word, and he is the eternal life. Does my listener know him? There is no life apart from him. This is the true God and eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ holds out life to you. In him, eternal life is inherent, for he is the life. But he is willing to communicate it to all who will receive him. And if you believe on him and accept him as your Savior, according to his word, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Oh, may God give you thus to become acquainted with him, whom to know is life eternal.